Hello again, everybody, and welcome into the Super Serious Sports Show on CentralCityRadio.com. I am Jeff Rich. By my side each and every week for the Super Serious Sports Show is the one, the only, Jen Rich. Jen, how are you doing this evening, and how's your week been?
It has been an okay week. It felt a little longer than 4 days. It was only the 4 days, but it felt like 14, so...
Welcome to summer in Phoenix, Arizona, and I think that it's really signified by that Memorial Day holiday. I associate that with sports a lot. I associate Memorial Day with going to the ball games, you know, playing doubleheaders, playing day games on a Monday. Basketball takes advantage of it too. They play almost every team annually on the Martin Luther King Day holiday in January, and they play on Christmas Day as well. That's when you truly, I suppose, capture a sporting audience. And what we're going to do tonight, we're going to talk about the yin and the yang in Phoenix sports, at least as it's currently set. The Suns have the city, you know, have taken the city by storm, and taken the NBA perhaps by storm by slaying the dragon early on in these playoffs. Goodbye, LeBron James. Goodbye, Anthony Davis. Goodbye, Los Angeles Lakers. And no thanks to Luka and company. We can't say goodbye to the other Los Angeles team in the NBA playoffs this year.
So one, it has been really nice as somebody who likes the color orange a lot. It has been really fun to see so many people out and about in Phoenix with their bright old orange sun stuff on. Two, I don't think I remember what my two was. Oh, no, my two was that I actually don't mind the Clippers, though. I'm fine with the Clippers. I think when the playoffs started, we actually talked about this, and I tried to come up with a reason as to why I was okay with the Clippers. I did not need to make reasons why I was not okay with the Lakers. That one kind of just spoke for itself.
It's a little bit more organic in the category of spite in sports.
It is. Oh, man, what a... Ugh. But, yeah, I don't mind the Clippers.
I like that you started making a list, and then you got down to number two, and you kind of lost it. But you picked it up again.
One, and then I got to B, and kind of trailed from there.
You did it quite well there. I mean, has there ever been it almost feels like the Diamondbacks had to die for the Suns to live on through the summer months here.
You know, that's actually a really good analogy for what happened, and not that the Suns were really struggling all season long, and it's not like they got hot when the Diamondbacks started to fail, but May was not a good month for the Diamondbacks.
No.
At all.
No. And June ain't looking too hot either.
June is kind of starting to look like it might be the same month for the Diamondbacks. Their schedule is about the same in terms of playing teams who are doing decent. A lot of games on the road. Yeah, it's not looking good for them. It is looking very bleak.
They can't win on the road. They get away from Chase Field, and there is no victory. There is no inspiration for victory in this baseball team. They were almost no hit in Milwaukee over the weekend. I mean, almost no hitters happen. Almost no hitters happen more often than actual no hitters.
Every 2 days, we have an almost no-hitter going on. And then I'd say probably every 4 days, we have a no-hitter.
Well, we've had 6 no-hitters this year.
Yes. Okay. Right.
But 6 different
teams.
You
want to list off those victims?
Well, it's the... What is it? It's the Indians, the Rangers...
And the Mariners.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had the West Coast representation. I'm still, you know, when I watch baseball, I'm watching American League Central Division baseball, which hasn't been fantastic, but you do have two teams over 500. You know, the Indians about 5 games over. Yeah, they're trailing the White Sox by a little bit, but you're just waiting for Tony La Russa to crash that plane into a mountain there with the White Sox.
I really am. It's incredible to me that Chicago and Cleveland are only about a 6-hour drive apart from each other. I think the flight was like an hour and a half or something. It's not a large distance. But in my Chicago area, no one cares about the East Coast. We don't care what New York's doing. We don't care what Boston's doing. Philly who? It's just so weird to me that you just being 6 hours east is east enough where the whole East Coast is like your priority of paying attention to things.
Well, you know, as a baseball fan, I think that goes back to when there were just the four divisions, and you had the yeah, you had the Indians playing in the East, along with the Milwaukee Brewers, who were in the American League back then, but with the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Baltimore Orioles, and the Detroit Tigers, you know, those were four teams that were, you know, relatively close. New York's, you know, quite a bit. New York and Boston are both quite a bit farther from Northeast Ohio than the other ones that I mentioned. But I just think that, you know, there's a history. I mean, you know, baseball in the American League goes back 120 years, and the National League goes farther back than that. You know, I think that somebody just a tad older than you might have that interest still in those National League East teams, because Chicago did play in the NL East, and they, you know, them and the Mets were the only ones in the old NL East that played on natural grass, because you had Philadelphia, you had Montreal, the rest of, you know, St. Louis,
the rest of them,
these NL, you know, all these NL teams that were Cardinals might have been in the West. I don't remember if they were in the East or West.
I think at that point they were in the West.
So the rivalry still remained, but you know, you didn't see each other 19 times a year like we do now here in the National League West. But 17 straight on the road, they had, you looked it up, longest losing streak of games period was...
Yeah, so they had 17 straight road losses. They came home, they were able to snag one from the Mets, which broke a 13-game losing streak.
Yeah, they took one from the Mets, they've taken one from the Nationals, and other than that, and those are at home, other than that, it was a pretty bleak month of May.
Yeah, so they got up to Milwaukee on Thursday for a four-game set with the Brewers, who have been not showing their full potential, but not really kind of out of conversation yet. They're doing that thing where they just kind of hover like they always do. They're like that jerk in your blind spot. Just kind of like either move up a little or just move back, but no, they just like dingle there, like, so annoying. So I got so annoyed. Boy, I forgot what my point was on this.
Well, the Milwaukee and the Cubs
Got up there. They just got up there on Thursday, and they made it four innings into Thursday's game. They were already down. Well, at that point, it became going down 4-0, and they just got ripped in the dugout in the middle of, like, in between the top and the fourth innings.
By
the Skip. Just tore them a new one. Four innings into their first of four games with Milwaukee, they were already getting their butts handed to them, and like both on the field and in the dugout.
Could I say that words don't matter in that case? Because they failed to achieve victory in the following five innings and then the following three games after that.
I was going to say, and now it's Sunday afternoon, and we know now for a fact that the Brewers did complete the four-game sweep. It's not that they didn't score. I think, 7-5, 5-1, 5-2, and then today they got shut out 2-0. So it's not like, they were getting some runs, not as many as they needed, but it's not like they're not putting men on base.
They don't have any offense. I mean, Eddie's been great. Eddie Escobar's been great, or Eduardo Escobar. You know, now that they have Ketel Marte back, you know, OPS, you know, over one, that's, you know, phenomenal, over 1,000, I guess, you know, if you want to make it sound more impressive there. But the pitching, I mean, you know, now Mad Bum's going to be out, Gallen's not back, you know, you have no pitching beyond, I think that Caleb Smith's done a decent job this year, but the rest of that rotation's been just garbage, and the defense for round behind him sucks. LoCastro can't get on base. He runs like the wind, but you know he's got to be like the ghost runner. He's got to be somebody that he's got to be somebody that gets on base artificially rather than organically.
Do you still roll your eyes like I do every time you hear the word ghost runner?
Well, I think that I've put Ghost Runner into the context that just kind of represents the stupid rules. So if you're tired of me saying it, maybe I could say it less. Maybe I could say, well, the bonus runner in the 10th inning.
Oh, I was just curious because I just kind of noticed that every time I hear Ghost Runner, my eyes just literally stop what they're doing and do a very slow, long rotation around my eye socket.
Well, you know what I wish TV would do, and I know that they have this capability to do it, when you have that runner that didn't do anything to get to second base with no outs in the, you know, in every extra inning, I think the TV should make him, you know, flash like the ghost on Pac-Man.
Absolutely.
As long as he's not a real run.
And if we're going to make this kind of mockery of a game and turn it into this little, like, Little League pony show, absolutely. That's the way it should be.
I say we weigh the run, too.
I think you throw some bananas out in between, too. Some bananas, maybe a cherry, a giant pretzel, and, you know, the runner can scoop it up and consume it as he's running to third base.
Well, I mean, if we're going to just bastardize the game, you know, we might as well just make it, make that artificial runner a half run or 0.9 runs. So it's still, you know, it's still a number higher than one. So it's, you know, you're not going to win a lot of games, you know, 3.5 to 3. Or will you?
Sam, like, I would love to see baseball scores be kept in fractional form.
See, that's what
the amount of heads that would explode, just, it'd be insane.
That's what ruined fantasy football for me once upon a time.
Fantasy football was enjoyable ever?
I get that too. But, you know, it used to be, you know, with, you know, you scored in, you know, yardage points in tens, where it was, you know, you either got 130 yards and you got 13 points, or you got 129 yards and you just got 12 points. Now you get 12.9 points. And I like that do or die aspect of things, where it was, he either gets that, that 10th yard that he needs to get you that point, or he doesn't. Now, you know, 0.9 is zero. And now it's, you know, now they go to like the second fraction. It's really wild what they do with fantasy football scoring. And I think that's the time that we declare that don't invite us to your league. We don't play.
Right.
We don't play. Yeah. I mean, when we did play, I won because I have something of an advantage that I do pay attention to things that are going on.
No, it has never gone well for me. I don't even attempt it anymore.
Well, like you said, the Suns have started to paint the town orange here, beating the Lakers. I mean, there's something about winning in the playoffs, and there's something about ending the Lakers season, and I don't know what's a better element for the Suns. We'll see as they take on the Denver Nuggets. But, I said it. I called it out on my Twitter account.
You did.
If you care to look, it's Jeff Rich Talks, at Jeff Rich Talks. You can check out the website, jeffrichtalks.com, and we have recently launched a new website, which is more inclusive of the both of us, called whatsupriches.com, and it's got a schedule, it's got a way to listen to our latest shows that we put out here for centralcityradio.com, as well as some of our other ventures. I'm going to try to start adding to the blog, at least at jeffrichtalks.com. You and I will have to talk after we go off about what we do about blogging on What's Up Riches.
It's just so hard to get the content because, you know, we got to watch the sports. It's hard to blog in sports at the same time.
And we both work 9-to-5 jobs.
Right. We have all sorts of gigs going on.
Well, I should say we both work day jobs. When you punch in and when you punch out is relatively arbitrary. But
I think we could question the amount of work that I do every week.
We'll keep that off air here. Anyway, I said that when the Suns lost game 2, I said I'm not surprised. You know, Lakers were going to make some adjustments. Things were going to even out. They went back to L.A., and you know, L.A., you know, ran roughshod over them in game 3. I said, That's it. That's all the games that they win. Suns are going to win out. And indeed, they won games 4, 5, and 6. They didn't need it to bring it back to Phoenix. We got it back in Phoenix for game 1 against the Denver Nuggets. And that's going to, that series is going to start on Monday. Down at the Purple Palace?
Yes. The Purple Palace.
The Phoenix Suns Arena. Well, you know, they used to call it Planet Orange, but they've taken the emphasis off the orange. I think that they've put it more so on the purple, even though it seems like the big games, they're always wearing that, the Valley uniforms, which they've grown. It's cool. This run is cool. I hope that it keeps on. I'd like to see them wear their white uniforms at some point. They were purple throughout the series with the Lakers. They play a Nuggets team. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I meant to make a comment about how every, 3 minutes, we should mention that the Lakers lost, and they're not playing in the playoffs anymore. So just in case you forgot out there, before Jeff continues, the Lakers lost. Okay, keep going, Jeff.
Okay, and we're going to have to look up the number for the Lakers ticket office so that we can have our listeners call in and, you know, ask the Lakers ticket office when their next playoff game is.
When I get tickets for the next next home game.
Wouldn't that be a terrible
sorry,
job?
That's going to have to be November, sweetheart. We'll see you in Thanksgiving.
Isn't that awful to have to field those types of stupid prank calls from NBA fans?
I think that's why Crank Anchor Rogers is around. That's their department. Don't bother anyone with the ticketing office.
Well, who do we... I mean, we have Emma Stone that's a Phoenix Suns fan. We have Frankie Muniz, a.k.a. Malcolm of the middle sort.
Right.
So, I mean, we've got some, you know, celebrities.
David Spade? I don't know if he Suns, though.
Yeah, he seems kind of like a Lakers douche.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, like, he probably fell pretty hard into that California...
I mean, that's what he looks like. Yeah. He moved to New York and became a California burnout.
Yeah.
Oh, well. No offense, David
Spade. No, I was going to say, I'm like, we still like you, David Spade.
We love that Tommy Boy. Great movie. But speaking of Tommy, let me throw a shout out. It's bladed at this point, but shout out to my little brother, Tommy, back in Ohio, who is 35 years young as of Saturday, June 5th. And I do remember that day back in 1986. And, yeah, you know, I love him enough to give him a shout out on our air about sports and Phoenix. He's a sports fan. He's not a Phoenician like me. And let's see. Okay, so we'll have plenty more to talk about with the Lakers. The other series is going to be the Clippers in Utah. So if the Suns can get through the Nuggets, they will play the winner of Jazz Clippers. And as you said, you don't really dislike the Clippers. And I'm going to put it out there. I don't really dislike the Jazz. I was hoping they'd beat your Bulls like every time out in the 90s.
It's the same. Like, I don't really mind the Jazz, though, either. But I think I'm still going to pull for Clippers in this series.
Pull for the Clippers.
It'll make it a little more interesting in our house, too. It's always kind of a little more fun when you have that competitiveness, even when it's two teams that you don't have any logical reason to give a crap about.
I think that we do a pretty good job. You know, we've gone to the horse track and we've picked our horses, and then
we've picked horses and ostriches and zebras and camels and whatever the hell else they raced that day. It was like Noah's Ark. They just had Noah's Ark pull up, and then they raced everything that got off of it.
Fun day at Turf Paradise. I don't know that I could compare it to any other day because I haven't been there on any other day, but the day that they ran the camels, the ostriches, the zebras.
And admittedly, that's why we went. That is why we went on that day.
Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. It was one of those 2 o'clock in the morning, really skinny girls that just got off her shift at candy store or Lay Girls, or I probably shouldn't have a knowledge to list.
Band-Aids. Everything I'm going to be able to list off every Central Phoenix strip club.
Aren't you kind of happier that I can't?
I know. We're really forgetting a lot. American Bush Club.
Well, that's the Alaska
Bush
Company.
That's more Grand Avenue, though.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Grand Avenue is its own category.
That's its own, it's its own strip of strips.
Well, you know, I remember on Peoria, there used to be this place called Centerfolds. And on one side of it was Centerfolds, the Gentleman's Club, and the other side was a sports bar.
Oh, fun.
And we'd go in there for lunch during the day, and we'd see that there were quite a few girls that danced the morning shift that would work the lunch shift at the sports bar. And then eventually they just knocked down the wall, and the sports bar was no longer, and Centerfolds was the whole thing over there by Metro Center. But I never went into Centerfolds. I never did. I always joke about that. You know, like anytime I'm driving by, you know, or I'm on the phone with somebody, hang on, you know, we got to stop at you know, this place in Cleveland, Ohio, on West 117th, you know, walking distance from where I grew up. And it's called the Lido Lounge, and it's got such a reputation that I remember we were leaving a Cleveland Indians game, and we were going to a
We were meeting your father at a barbecue at that point.
Okay.
After leaving an Indians game.
We're driving down West 117th in Cleveland. I realize there's no context for anybody in Phoenix who's never been to Northeast Ohio, but I told you, tell them we'll be in about an extra half hour because we're going to stop at the Lido Lounge for a couple. And he replied, LOL, and then a few minutes
like
later.
3 minutes later, he's like, wait, were you serious?
Not sure if serious. And we live around the corner from Bourbon Street now in our little neck of East Phoenix, and I've never used the Bourbon Street as a stop off joke with you.
I don't think I know what Bourbon Street is.
Maybe we'll have to find out.
Maybe we'll hit it on the way home.
It'll be the super serious strip club show next
Sunday
week.
Sunday fun day indeed.
Well, I had our pop culture segment written down to do the Sandler movie, since we leave MTV on all day for our dog, because it's a coin flip that it's going to be ridiculousness. And if not, it's going to be one of the 15 silly movies that they play on a loop.
Yeah, she's 15. She can't hear But we do catch her watching the TV every now and then. You know, she'll notice stuff's going on, and it just kind of makes us feel better about her, you know, mental health. So yeah, MTV is on a lot, and if Ridiculous is not being played, which admittedly it is about 18 hours a day, anywhere from about 18 to 22 hours a day, there's Ridiculousness on. But when there's not Ridiculousness, there's Adam Sandler's movies. Which one has been on a lot lately? 51st Dates is always...
51st Dates was in regular rotation on Comedy Central, and then it...
literally just moved to MTV.
Right.
I think I know every word to that movie.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. Waterboy?
Waterboy gets... I don't know every word to that movie, but that one has been played a lot as well.
Okay, so we get Waterboy, and we get 51st Dates, and those are...
Those are the ones everyone has seen and, like, familiar with.
But
and...
they've kind of dug deeper into the Sandler vault, and they're pulling out those early 2000s films like Big Daddy and Mr. Deeds.
I didn't like those two.
I appreciate both of them in my own ways. You know, I'll never say that, you know, they're my top five comedies or whatever, but I am familiar. I'm a bigger fan of Mr. Deeds than most people. I think that it's just, you know, I appreciate Peter Gallagher is one of the villains. And then Alan Covert gets a big part in that. You know, he's the guy that, you know, he is Grandma's boy.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's the caddy in Happy Gilmore.
The movie's fantastic.
You see him in just about everything that Sandman's done. But you know, Mr. Deeds was the one where he inherits $40 billion and, you know, the corporate greed, you know, takes over and the big media. I mean, it's actually a nice little snapshot of what's going on in today's world. And then you've got Big Daddy where... John Stewart is Adam Sandler's roommate. He goes to China, and John Stewart's son that he didn't know about was dropped with Adam Sandler, who kind of adopts him as his own son. And it's you know, it's the set of twins that play the kid. It's the same set of twins that played Ross's son on Friends.
That I did not know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know that.
Dylan and Cole Sprouse, I believe, are their names. And, you know, like a lot of child actors, I don't know that they continued their careers into adulthood, but I could be surprised by that information.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to look it up.
No, I don't expect
you to. I'm content not knowing for sure what happened.
No, so let's see. What's
So lately we've been doing a lot of the Just Go With It, where he is with Jennifer Aniston, and he tricks Brooklyn Decker into thinking that Jennifer Aniston is his ex-wife that he has a family with. Because he uses this crazy lie that he's married and his wife doesn't love him as an attempt to get women to feel sorry for him and then subsequently sleep with him.
Oh, and then he's, you know, he wants to do more than a one-night stand with Brooklyn Decker.
Yeah, but then he falls in love with her because Brooklyn Decker. And, yeah, the whole it was good though. I like it. It's an incredible
same
movie.
same type of movie as Blended, where, you know, he works for Dick's Sporting Goods, and, like, the, you know, Dick, the CEO of Dick's, you know, gives him a trip to, we watched the movie. I don't remember where they went, but it was a vacation. And Drew Barrymore's family got the other half of this, you know, resort getaway, and, you know, so they spent this time on vacation. And, you know, of course, you know, he's been in movies with Drew Barrymore before. I think actually more than just 51st Dates. Oh, The Wedding Singer.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of movies with her.
So he's done a bunch with her. It's not bad time filler on the weekends. We finally finished Yellowstone, and it's crazy because, you know, there is, you know, this big cliffhanger that's currently out there. And we would have watched it before, but we're cheap, right?
Right.
We're cheap. We couldn't find it on DirecTV beyond just catching up on season 3.
If it's not on one of the streaming services that we already have... And, yeah, we can't on-demand it, then, yeah, no, we don't pay for it.
Can you believe how many more are out there? I mean, it was Netflix and Hulu. And then, you know, Amazon jumped in the game. And now every channel's got one, you know, between Disney Plus, Peacock, Paramount, you know, all of these apps.
AMC.
You know, we're back to the point where, you know, if you cut the cord and then you buy all these streaming services for the a la carte, you're still paying what you were paying to the cable company.
Yeah. And you're still not watching most of the content on it.
Right.
I mean, so a lot of times I like falling asleep to movies, taking little naps. It's hard watching stuff on TV. Those commercials are so damn loud. Like, you can barely hear the show, and then the commercial just, like, screams at you. So I need a movie, and there's just so much crap on Netflix. I'll spend an hour looking for a movie to watch to fall asleep to on Netflix, and by the time I find it, I'm not even tired anymore.
Oh, you wake back up trying to find your...
Because I've spent an hour scrolling through garbage and being annoyed that nothing I want to watch is actually available. And then I'm up, and I just never take that nap.
Well, how about a pat on the back or an applause for yours truly for fighting City Hall, I mean DirecTV, and winning the battle? Because, you know, those folks over there, let me tell you about those folks.
And remember, it's not even, it's AT&T. AT&T owns DirecTV, absorbed DirecTV.
Yeah, we've seen that a lot, and it's ruined the smaller product. United Airlines consumed Continental Airlines, service to Cleveland via United, and really via everyone, or via United going anywhere. You know, service sucks. I'm just earning all kinds of sponsors here on the super seriousness, right?
Yeah, we're going to end up with Spirit.
We're going to end up with Spirit.
Hey, what's wrong with Spirit?
Hey, we've flown Spirit.
So anyways, we already had HBO Max included in our AT&T bundle, and then I had to get a new phone because the four-year-old one that I had was not cutting it anymore. And we went from having it included into our service to then being told we would still have it included into our service and still billed $15 for it.
Yeah, right.
So we had to call them out and ask them what their idea of included means, because in my mind it was not an additional $15 charge.
Right.
And they admitted their mistake. You dealt with it. You took care of it.
And you know, in all fairness and credit to AT&T, we had a problem. We don't need to dwell on the problem because they found a solution. You know, the comeback is greater than the setback.
Right. Right.
Over a simple billing issue. But anyway. So Sandler on MTV when Vince Vaughn isn't.
Yeah, because they were doing dodgeball there a lot for a while.
I like when I can predict the beginning of the movie based on, like, you know, Touchtone Media or whatever, and you know, I can hear the first few clicks. I was like, this could be old school. And it was totally old school.
Oh, I always think it's Step Brothers. Okay. Every time a movie starts by, was it Columbia that did that?
Probably.
I'm just like, Step Brothers, forgetting that they might have made, you know, other movies.
Because they are a studio.
Yeah. Typically, you make more than one movie. Yeah.
Depending on who you are. Some people only make one movie, if you know what I mean. All right. So, national news, NBA season ending. Terry Stotts out in Portland. He was there for a long time. Steve Clifford wasn't in Orlando for quite as long a time. But, you know, Portland was in the playoffs, but their ceiling seems to be that first round of the postseason. Dallas doesn't get it done. You wonder if, Rick Carlisle's been there in Dallas for a long time. He won a title with Dirk 10 years ago. You wonder if they're going to try to do better things for Luka Doncic there. He doesn't seem to have a supporting cast. I've seen a lot of comparisons to Luka and the early on Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron in his third and fourth years, dragging a bunch of plumbers to the finals with him to take on Tim Duncan and
company. Oh, crap. I said every 90 seconds to 3 minutes I was going to stop you. Just to take a second for those of you who maybe weren't listening earlier and missed it, the Lakers lost.
Well, your season's over.
Over.
LeBron James is done, washed.
I don't even think he should bother coming back next year. I didn't think he should have came back this year. I think it's at some point he's going to have to realize that he needs to take himself out before he gets taken out. You know what I mean? Like, before we have one of those injuries that, maybe you don't come back from.
Before the Lakers pool holes him?
Yeah.
Put him in their pool holes?
Right.
You remember the just for context, the Angels signed Albert Pujols.
No, you should just say Pujols a bunch of times and then nothing else. We'll
Pujols,
just move on.
Pujols.
Also, the Lakers lost.
Yeah, and they were eliminated. Their season is over. This is the first time that this is the first time that LeBron James has been in the playoffs and not in the NBA Finals since his last year in Cleveland. His last year in Cleveland, the first time around. This is the first time that he's ever been eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. His last year in Cleveland, the second time around in 2018, the Indiana Pacers took them to seven games And, you know, people at Cleveland, you know, did think that it was pretty pathetic after they'd been to the finals 3 years in a row that they were almost eliminated in the first round by the Indiana Pacers. But as a 4 seed, they were playing Indiana, who was a 5 seed. They got a game 7 in Cleveland for the only time in LeBron's career, because the last time that he'd played a game 7 in as a Cavalier, the finals against Golden State where, Cleveland won, and then against Boston in 2008 when Boston ended up going on to win the finals. So he's been a mainstay in the finals, but the Phoenix Suns got in the way. And they just ran into a buzzsaw that were the Phoenix Suns, and you saw it. You know, the way that Devin Booker played in that series, they just walked into the shots that they wanted to take. Denver's going to have to stop that if they don't want to go down, if they don't want to be swept or go down in 5 games.
How are you, honestly, I mean, obviously, go Suns, you want Suns to win. How do you really feel about this Phoenix Suns Denver Nuggets series?
How do I feel? I feel that Denver can contend with them. I think that what we saw from DeAndre Ayton in the first round is very indicative of what he's going to be able to do. I don't think that Jokic is going to be able to get to the rim. I think he's going to have to settle for those mid-range jumpers. And if you can you just got to keep him shooting at a low percentage, and then beat him on the defensive end. And then beat him on the defense on their defensive end of the floor. Chris Paul's had some days to sit, get healthy. I don't think he's going to be 100% the rest of the way. And I think that's the big handicap. Really, no pun intended, with the Suns' chances. I don't think they could beat Brooklyn. I think that they would have a hard time with Milwaukee's length, even though they've got length of their own. But against the Nuggets, I feel pretty comfortable. What happens in the next round, whether it's Utah or the Clippers, I'm going to reserve comment on, because we could have a very different looking Suns team in 10 days if they are able to advance.
Right.
So, percentage chance, I think that they're going to beat the Nuggets. I'm about an 8 out of 10.
Is this another 6-game series, you think? Does it go to 7?
See, if they can, and, Devin Booker doing his thing and getting it from campaign and getting it from, the other pieces off of the bench. Torrey Craig has been, Torrey Craig was a big part of why they were able to not just get out in front of the Lakers, but put them away at the end of games. So I would think that, I'm going to say 8 out of 10 that they beat the Nuggets. And I got it about I'm between a 4 and a 6 out of 10, whether they can actually win the whole thing or not. I think that they're going to run into the same problems that we've already seen in the Brooklyn-Milwaukee series with the Brooklyn Nets, if it is the Nets that come out of the East. If it's the Hawks, I think that whoever wins the Western Conference is going to be the champion. So a lot of variables at stake, but just staying in the moment. The Lakers gone, Nuggets in their way, Jazz or Clippers on the other side, and then the Eastern Conference champion. I mean, you can believe it's going to happen. We haven't really had any reason to believe that we were close to anything since Cardinals in the Super Bowl, and that was 12 years ago. That's a long time. And I did mention that Julio Jones will be playing for the Titans, who the Cardinals see in week one, so that backfield will get tested out really early on. I know that I got to cover hockey. Habs are up 3-0 over the Winnipeg Jets, so they'll probably be the Canadian representative in the Final Four. Colorado and Vegas, we're going to see game 4 where Vegas has a chance to even up that series after going down 2-0 in Denver.
They need to even up that series. They should have never fallen down 2 games under Avalanche.
Colorado's a tough team. Colorado's got talent in the front and on the defensive side. And Grubauer's played.
So it's not like a mullet party in the front, party. Business in the front, party in the back.
There's got to be a team that's like that. There's got to be a team that's business in the front. It's very straight edge in the front, and then and then they got the bikers and that play on the as defensemen with the C, because that's how they spell it in Canada.
Right.
The Islanders in Boston. Boston up 2-1 in that series. Or no, actually that one is all evened up. So we'll see that one play out over the course of the week. And then Tampa Bay just needs one more win to put away the Hurricanes. And I think that
Tampa, you know, despite the fact that they wasted that season, for them to go out and get swept by Columbus, I think it wakes them up. The guys that are still around from that team 2 years ago, I don't think they rest on the laurels the fact that they got the bubble cup. Because if you're going to asterisk the Lakers, who, by the way, lost, that covers our 96. They lost and they were eliminated by the Phoenix Suns.
Really?
That's funny.
That's great news. It's like Dumb and Dumber when he sees it. We landed on the moon.
The Suns beat the Lakers. That's awesome. That's awesome. So that's yeah, that's what we're looking at in hockey. And I'll be honest with you, from a local perspective, Jen, I'm not all that excited about the Yotes coming back. You know what would excite me more than anything about the Yotes coming back? For them to just incorporate the Kachina into their white sweater, and we get rid of the Sedona Red and the coyote head.
You don't want any more of the howling yote? No more of that wow.
No more trying to look like the Now I would say that they're trying to look like the Cardinals and the D-backs, but I think the truth is that they put that red in place so that when the Red Wings fans and the Red Wings are in the East now, so it's not that big a deal anymore. And the Blackhawks fans would come in their red sweaters, they'd look just like everybody else.
So sad how overwhelmingly out of team that stadium becomes.
Yeah.
Not for all the games, but yeah, definitely when the Kings are in town, the Blues.
Vegas.
Yeah, it gets overrun pretty quick.
The Canadian teams. I mean, we've got a lot of, maybe not necessarily Montreal and Toronto, but we've got the Western Canadian snowbirds down here in the winter.
We usually do, but with COVID, no one's allowed to go back and forth. So,
well, I'm just talking in general terms, like when we are somewhere close to, what they call normal.
Right.
I mean, normal doesn't really exist too heavily in our world. Beyond the Diamondbacks, which is really one of the more depressing talks in Major League Baseball, and if we talk about our own interest, right? You're a lifelong Chicago Cubs fan. I'm a lifelong Cleveland Indians fan.
Remember, I got that little asterisk where I kind of liked the Marlins there for a couple years when they first came out.
Okay, were you under the age of 10 at this point?
What year did the Marlins come out?
93.
It just turned 11.
Okay, right on. So when you turned 11, you were...
I did not celebrate their World Series, though.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because...
No, that was not my place to celebrate their World Series.
Right. And that's kind of what happens when your other team wins.
Celebrated the hell on my own, though.
Oh, I know you did. But the point I was trying to make is with our interest, the Diamondbacks being swept by Milwaukee, that's bad for the Cubs. And then the Indians dropping 2 of 3 to the Baltimore Orioles means that the Diamondbacks get to be the best team in baseball because the Orioles had a good weekend and, the Diamondbacks did not.
Speaking of other teams that aren't our own teams, your Cleveland Indians are still fishing around the idea of new team names. It was announced that they haven't narrowed down to, what was it, 1,986 or something?
It was 1,198. It was just under 1,200.
Okay, 1,198.
And I think that they've got it whittled down to like 80 or something right now. And I'd really like to see the list. And they'll never see the light of day. But
what if they do make it a public thing where they finally get it down to like 16 and they do like a bracket, like March Madness, where people can vote?
You would be implying that Major League Baseball and the Cleveland Indians gives a crap about the fans. Yeah.
Who fund their ability to continue to do what they do. Yeah.
This is a multi-billion-dollar decision. This is not going to be something that's put to a fan poll at any point. I think that I really think that they've had the name. I really think that they've had the name, and they've thrown it into the big list to see if it survives the vetting and everything else.
How do you come up with nearly 1,200 different names that are available? How?
You hire a lot of people to submit a lot of ideas. I mean, that's, the level that they would have had to research that, I mean, that's a job. That's a job that somebody...
Oh, they said they launched a major campaign.
Yeah.
Hours and hours and hours of talking to fans and doing polls and meetings and brainstorms.
Can I tell you what I think it won't be? Can I tell you some of the names that I don't think it will be?
No.
I don't think that they'll be the Cleveland
Spiders. I asked
Spiders.
You and then no answers. We'll just end the show right
no
now.
No follow-up offer, no
questions. It's a Sopranos black screen.
Don't stop. Anyway, the Spiders, Guardians.
I don't think it's going to be either of those things.
Okay. Hopefully no rockers.
Hopefully no rocks, no rockers. You know, they say that they want to have something that's had a forever connection to the city. You know, the Guardians on the bridge. It makes a little bit of sense, but I don't think that it's really that cool of a name. And, you know, Spiders was the name of the National League team in Cleveland 100 years ago that, you know, had a very corrupt ending. And, you know, I don't think that we want to be proud of a team that went 21 and 141 in its final season there in 1899. So, and it doesn't have any connection to the American League team, which started out as the Blues. They were the Broncos, they were the Naps, and then they became the Indians, and I want to say like 1916. So the name's going to go away. The new one is probably not going to be well received, regardless of what it is, by a large portion of the fan base. Most of them don't want to see the Indians, didn't want to see the Chief Wahoo go, but that's, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Tis what it is.
All right. You got anything else we need to get to before we get on out of here this evening?
I don't know if you know, but the other day, the Lakers lost to the Suns.
Okay, so the Lakers lost to the Suns, and we should probably talk about that with some length here. Of course, Suns in six. They won games 1, 4, 5, and 6. That gave them a 4-2 advantage over the Lakers. They already knew when they won that game on Thursday that they would be playing the Denver Nuggets in the next round of the playoffs. And Denver played a heck of a series against the Portland Trail Blazers. For me to dismiss them as a less worthy opponent for the Suns than the Lakers were, what you don't want to get to do, what they don't want to do is get trapped in this series against Denver. I've never really had a big, especially my history going back to the Broncos and John Elway beating my Cleveland Browns way back in the day. I'm wishing the Suns the best. I hope we can have a championship here in Phoenix. And, yeah, this is the first time that they're playing June basketball here since they lost to your Bulls in 93.
All right.
And maybe this will have a better ending for us here in the 602. All right, that's going to do it for us here this evening on CentralCityRadio.com's Super Serious Sports Show with Jen and Jeff Rich. Let's give a shout-out to our man Julian on the other side of the glass for making it happen each and every week. But we're going to call it a night here. Go Suns.